Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God, our Father, and our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Friends in Christ, you are engaged in the battle, whether you realize it or not. The battle is constant. Your Lord Jesus speaks about this battle and war in our gospel lesson for the day. The death blow to the strong man has been given, and the war is decided. But that does not mean that all the skirmishes have finished. Even though the enemy, Beelzebub, literally Lord of the Flies, is nothing more than a pile of dung, nevertheless, he does not see that his time is up. He rages and roars like a lion, seeking to devour anyone he can. And so he prowls, searching for a place to return to that has been swept and put in order, only to make it worse than it was at first. This is a warning to all Christians. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it, for this is how one is kept steadfast for the fight, steadfast in the faith that you have been thrusted into in holy baptism. Satan and his demons are good at peeling us away from our Lord and his word. He would love nothing more for us than to work against the spirit that has been put inside of us at baptism and make him flee from our hearts. This is why Paul exhorts us to flee from sexual immorality, impurity, greediness, and other shameful vice. For these types of sins, and ultimately all sin, if left unchecked, will root out the Holy Spirit from your heart. And thus we will be back under Satan's oppression. While the intro, it speaks about having our eyes ever toward the Lord, Satan's and his demons do whatever they can for this not to happen. Their enticements pull us into their lair of death once again. He wants us to focus on selfish pleasures and passions instead of the Lord. Do not give in to these temptations of Satan, the world, and your very own sinful flesh. Flee from them, and rather seek to imitate the Lord himself. Hear his word and keep it in your hearts, so that it produces faith which grows into maturity and produces the works of faith in the Spirit. And when you are confronted, that word of God is used as a sword. For you have been loosed from the prison shackles. At one time, you and I both were mute and even blind. Paul goes so far to say that we were once dead in trespasses and sins. Our house was in utter disarray and barely standing, if at all. In the fall of Adam, Satan took our ability to speak our Lord's blessed name. We lost the ability to keep God's word, both from the perspective of obeying it, but also simply loving it for what it is, namely God's manner to convey his mercy and grace. Instead of guarding and keeping it, the word of God became something despised, rebelled against, even if the act of rebellion is utter insanity. This is what we see in our current situation around gender affirmation and the like. Confessional Christians and atheist culture commentators alike are keenly aware of how insane this stuff is becoming. But sinners are still going to rebel because that is what sinners do against God's word. Rather than keep it, sinners throw God's word to the curb. And like I said before, this is exactly what Satan wants. He wants to keep us in the state of rebellion. He loves to make sure that we know that we are in big trouble with God because of our sin, and that there's no hope for the likes of us. This is Satan's playbook. And he thought this would keep us locked up in his prison and show God to be ever the fool. For Satan loves nothing more than taking what God created in his image, what he delights in, and ruin it. And knowing God to be a righteous judge, Satan even uses God's word to his advantage against weaklings like us. But what Satan did not count on was that the Lord God had a plan to raise up such a champion, one who is stronger than Satan. Friends in Christ, the stronger man has indeed come, and he has broken the bars of Satan's house, and he has ripped us from the grasp of Satan and taken us into his own hands. We were once in the darkness, but now we have been brought into the marvelous light of God's mercy and salvation. Yet the vision which we have of the stronger man in Scripture does not necessarily make the stronger man look all that strong. In human flesh, he appears weak, humble, meek. He comes to his own people riding a donkey. The prophet Zechariah speaks of him being afflicted and suffering, as he rides not on a war horse, but a beast of burden. But the stronger one comes armed with the name of the Lord. Like the young David we heard on a couple Thursday evenings ago. Shameless plug, come to Thursday evenings. The stronger man is the Lord God himself in the flesh. This stronger man is the incarnate God himself. He comes to keep his own word in a way for us that we cannot. We cannot do it for ourselves. Our Lord allows Satan a moment of satisfaction as Jesus allows the serpent to bite his heel. But it's there that the death blow is given. It is here in death that Jesus, the stronger man, turns the table on Satan. With the words, "It is finished," Satan also is done. He has done his worst. And there is no more. Satan is defeated. And on the third day, our champion rose from the dead. And he commands now his disciples to go out, making disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them everything that he had taught them or commanded them. The hearts of people being swept and put into order, evil spirits being kicked out by this very act. This is what we see and confess with Luther in baptism. His baptismal rite says this: "Depart, you unclean spirits, and make room for the Holy Spirit." Not just once, but twice. And if you count exorcisms, there's actually a third exorcism in Luther's rite of baptism. The Holy Spirit enters the child through the promise of the Word of God, which is in and with the water, and creates faith, which trusts the promise that the person being baptized is indeed God's child. Whereas the fight was fought 2,000 years ago in and around Jerusalem, here in baptism, the fight really begins for you. You're no longer mute or deaf. Now you have a champion, a Savior, Jesus Christ. Yes, you will die physically and your body shall return to the dust, but those who believe in Jesus never die eternally. For you have died in baptism with Christ. And just as he was raised, so too you shall be raised to new life. Thanks be to God. But Satan is not going to let you get away that easy. The demons do not have to fight for those who are still chained in slavery of sin and death. So they never stop in their hunt to find those people who have been baptized and who would be ones to stop their ears to the Word of God. Indeed, the home was cleaned and put in order. But it seems that the cares of the world have come and choked what faith had begun to grow and blossom. The Holy Spirit had been kicked out in our Lord's little story and parable. The imagery should be jarring. The demons return, and it's worse for that person than ever at the first. Take our Lord's word to heart this day, not to be lulled into a false sense of security. Just because you have been baptized does not mean that you have a get-out-of-jail-free card for the rest of your life. You cannot keep living, says Paul, following the ways of the world or your sinful passions and say everything is fine. You are living a lie. Repent, confess, and believe. Keep the word of God in your heart. And so in repentance, engage along with your Lord in the fight against temptation and sin. Stay engaged in the fight. Stay in the battle. It's a daily activity to live before God in righteousness and purity. You can and should say with the new man no to your body and passions if they're leading you away from the Lord and his word. You can and should ask the Lord for mercy and help in times of temptation. Hold firm to his promise made to you in holy baptism. You are made new. The new man lives within you and is informed by the word of God, and he desires to keep the law, the Lord's holy Ten Commands. And more importantly is this, that if you do sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, who stands as your advocate and your defender. And he is abounding in grace and steadfast love. And he forgives you and cleanses you of all unrighteousness. He creates in you a clean heart and renews that right spirit within you. The fight which you and I are engaged in is not one where haymakers are thrown every other punch. Indeed, the big blow has been landed. Satan is defeated. But do not be naive about our call to live by faith created in us in baptism until our Lord returns. Hear the word of God and keep it in your heart. Then make yourself at home within it, so that once in your heart, it comes out of your own mouth as your own confession. Fight the demon's assaults with the word of God, for it is the only weapon that we have been given. This is how the devils are kept at bay. Blessed are you who hear the word of God and keep it, guard it, teach it, make what it confesses your own confession. Your eyes have been opened and remain so. Your mouth is unstopped. Sing the praises of your Redeemer who has won for you salvation. As the Holy Spirit has united himself to you and made himself at home in your heart, and you are incorporated into the body of Christ. So now we look forward to the meal that our crucified and risen Lord Jesus gives to us, his body and his blood, for he unites with us. So we may be strengthened in this faith to which we've been called. Do not neglect these things, which our Lord calls good, but cherish them, for by them we are being kept ready, and we are engaged in the fight. In the holy and blessed name of Jesus, amen. And the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit bless you and preserve you unto life everlasting. Amen.